is November the 10th, 2021. The first item on our agenda is the call to order, invocation, pledge of allegiance. And I will leave that if you don't mind. If you'll join me in prayer, please. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this day that you've given us, the beautiful weather, the cooler temperatures, Lord. We do thank you for all the many blessings that you give us each and every day. Lord, as we go throughout this work session, I pray that you'll give us wisdom to do the right thing for the betterment of Bertie County and for the citizens of Bertie County. Lord, be with us and guide our every step. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Stand, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, first on the agenda is the EMS staffing shortage. County Manager, Mr. Bohm, would you like to take it?
Absolutely. So this is a continuation of the discussion we were having at our last meeting on November 1st, where our Emergency Management Director, Mitch Cooper, has requested some increases to assist with retaining employees. And the handout that you see in your folder with the goldish writing. Or background, I should say, not writing. The writing is in black. But that gives you the bottom line of what the increases are that Mr. Cooper has requested. For the remainder of this fiscal year, the 8 months, the cost would amount to about $223,449,000 for the entire year. Moving forward, let's say for next fiscal year 22-23, for that entire year, the cost would be, where you see the variance column all the way at the bottom, $335,174.
Which is what, about 3 cents on the tax?
Between 2.5 to 3 cents of, yes, yes. And so let's see.
And where would that put us in comparison to the other counties?
In comparison to the other counties, we definitely wouldn't be the lowest, and we would not be the highest either. It would put us about in the middle.
Okay. where do we stand on this year's budget? Is this 8 months? This is in addition to where we stand, or does that take into consideration where we stand against this year's budget already for EMS?
The figures that you see here are the current budget. If you take a look again at that front page, the current budget for EMS, we budgeted 2.1. And then for EMS and then for transport, we budgeted 624. But the proposed budget would be, with that increase, it would take us up to 2.3 and then 700,000.
Right, got so, that. I guess, yeah, this is just salaries, right. So what I'm asking is, where do we stand about EMS as a whole in terms of where they are against this year's current budget overall?
Against,
I mean, are they under budget? Under,
are they running budget to budget
right
or
now,
they
running
not?
A deficit or running under budget?
Let's take a look. I think right off the top, we can take a look at the numbers we have right here. But right off the top, the thing that's running over, of course, is probably the overtime. That's what we're expending the fastest. Sure. I think we use
75%. Right, but I mean, as a whole,
as a whole,
net effect.
29.7% in 3 months, we should be around 25. So we're running a little bit above.
Okay. My question is this. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
But anyhow, we all know Medicaid expansion took an effect, correct? Calls went from what, $79 to $1,000?
On our transport side.
Okay. My other question is that that's one reason I wanted Dave here with the EMS billing service, mm-hmm. okay, to mm-hmm. see where we're at with this thing. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's had a heart attack, I think, had surgery and things of that nature. He couldn't be here. With that taken into granted, as far as the $1,000 a transport, okay, and that's about average, correct? Okay. Do we or will we make up any ground on that?
So, Colleton did send us.
Excuse me one sec. Let me follow up with this. When this budget was done, was
it? Can you step up to the mic so people can hear you, please?
When this budget was done, did you figure on $79 a call on average? Okay. So it was not figured on $1,000 a call, correct?
No, it was not, because we were, when the budget was currently being approved, we were just getting this, they're not contracts, they're agreements with the insurance companies. And right. Nobody had a dead set number of what that was going to be. So I didn't add it into the budget because we were not sure what that increase was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
After our last meeting, Collington, because they could not be here, did send us an update, a dated spreadsheet of what their estimates were going to be. And they're looking at an increase of $239,000 of revenue.
On the bottom line?
On the bottom line.
$239,000.
Non-emergency.
Across the board.
Across the board.
Because Medicaid expansion only affects emergency.
Okay.
It did not expand but so big on the non-emergency side. And I do want to add one thing to the spreadsheet. That 223 and that 335 is based on all positions being filled.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as y'all have seen me in the past, on our transport side, we have to run that to be a positive revenue gain. There are 5-6 positions right now that are unfilled, which estimate about $220,000 of salaries that we will not fill until we get call volume to support those positions. So as we've talked about in the past, that throttling effect, when we get the call volume to go up, then we will start filling those positions. We won't do that until it can balance out the revenue. We need to hire 2 more people right now. We're currently turning down calls and we're running in overtime in transport. So we've gone back and looked at our numbers of what we need to do to continue that positive revenue gain to offset the cost of EMS. So these numbers are 100% staffed EMS and transport, but those transport positions will not get filled until we have the call volume to support them. So we've had several conversations in our admin staff. We are starting to turn down calls and turn away calls and have to reschedule our current patients. We have repetitive patients. During COVID, we had 3 repetitive patients that go weekly. Today, we're over 8, right at 8. Our goal is to get 10, and that will cover that part to fill those positions.
All right, so I have an understanding here. Going back to the 911 side, okay?
Yes, sir.
That's where we got the increase on Medicaid expansion, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so it went from 79 to 1,000, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. How many calls are you doing a month on 911?
We do an average of 400 a month.
400 a month.
Right now, we're seeing about 25 to 30 of those Medicaid calls. When we get a bill in for our Medicaid, for our entire billing service, those calls are broke out to the side because we were getting billed 5.5% for every dollar made by Collington. But because that was such a great increase, they're charging us a flat rate of $11 a call instead of 5.5%.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was going to drive their cost up so much and eat into our budget.
How many of those calls are 911 side of Medicaid?
We're between 20 and 25 a month.
Okay, so it's running what the basically county average would be, correct?
Right.
Because I think they were set at 30%, something like that. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you run about 25% on Medicaid calls.
And we've talked to DSS and there's other, counts of aging is trying to sign people up for more Medicaid.
Right.
Through their services.
All right, so. But going back to what you said, your budget was figured on about $79-$80 per carry, correct?
Right.
Okay. And now it's at 1,000.
Yes, sir.
And that moved into effect when? July 1st, 21. Okay.
Almost forgot what year we were in.
Understand.
It's going back. Been there.
All right. So I have an understanding. So the $1,000 for the Medicaid calls, you're estimating that increase to be in this year's budget to be what now?
$239,000.
All right. And next year, for the whole year, did you estimate that out?
It'd be $239,000 right now, what we're looking at.
Okay, yes, because we started in July. Thank you. It's still early in the morning.
Yes, ma'am. Everything we're working on here is 12-month basis except for that 8-month column.
Okay.
because as the county manager, assistant county manager, and William pointed out, we're also projecting what our cost is going to be for the 22 and 23 year budget.
So we're only looking next year's budget at without any across the board raises that we might would give would be $100,000 more than, is that correct?
Yeah, about 100, okay. Somewhere around 100,000.
Instead of the 335,000 more than what we need. Yep. We'd only about 100,000.
And like I say, our goal is as we increase call volume on the transport side is to keep driving that debt down.
Yeah, I understand the full year. I get that, right? But I want to make sure I understand where we are right now for the rest of this year, right? So, and what it shows for 8 months, this would cost us $223,000, right? But you also said that against your current budget, right, you're somewhere 200 and some under, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so...
This could be a wash.
Right. That's what I want to get at. Yeah. Because, but the key factor is how do we make sure it is? That's what I want to get at. Because what you talked about was as you have more staffing, then we kick in to spending more of this projected. You're correct. Right?
In that paper that I turned in the last commissioner's meeting, on the second page, it had a projection of what it would be if we were at 19% instead of 32%. And those numbers align with each other to be in that $220,000 to $239,000
range. And Mitch, when you and I sat down, and I think Board knows that I spent some time with Mitch just making sure to get my head around the numbers. When we look at the projected revenue in each of the lines, right, and the projected expense, this new expense with the increase, that there's a gap somewhere around 50 grand. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So that's the real cost, this year's cost, that this would, if we put this into effect next year, new budget, you know, all bets are off. We see where we are, right? We know what the expense would be to maintain that. So it could be some trade-offs, but that's what we're talking about here, right? Mm-hmm. The numbers are right. Somewhere around, I think it was 53,000.
I think even 53, 55. And that was with all positions being filled.
That's right.
So still, as we do the throttling effect on our transport side, we could see less deficit than that.
That is the point. That would be 53,000 with everything filled, right? Mm-hmm. But since you're going to ramp up, the chances are that we would still probably come in a little bit under if the revenue holds where it is,
we
right?
Need revenue to hold, and we need to hire the positions, and we need that little bit more help on the transport side so we can increase the business. And
that's
the revenue
right.
There.
That's the piece I wanted everybody to understand.
Well,
A large amount of our deficit right now is overtime, yes, sir. So we increase the salary. And that's accounted for. So the way I built it, and they think I'm being a little cocky here.
Said it, not you.
It's a catch 22, but I give myself until January 1 to start putting people in positions. When I started this project, I gave myself 60 days to put people in place and to drive as hard as I could. I mean, we're advertising. We've got people that are interested. They're talking to us. But this is going to put the money on the table, and it's going to put the bargaining to bring them in and sign them up and get them hired. So, we have people coming to us to talk to us, but we got to have something sealed to deal with because –
Well, I know I'm curious, and I'm sure the folks listening are, and maybe the rest of the commissioners, where exactly does this put us? You said in the middle, but a dollar amount.
It puts us at $19 starting out for a medic and $15 starting out for EMT.
And 19 ain't the top of the Who was beyond that?
We've who's above us right now that's on the salary schedule we did is at 1980. But there are counties within driving distance that we have lost employees to. They're in the $21 range, but they do not compare to
the workload and the
They don't compare to
the administration. Well, may not compare.
Well, when I go out and do a salary study, I go out and find counties that run our call volume. They're within our tax base. They resemble Burt T. County.
Yeah.
Because I understand that we have to have a comparison to something that we compare to. But there are a few counties that are about 2 hours away, really close to some salt water, that we have lost because in 2 hours they can be there and they work the same schedule we do. But, you know, I understand that we don't have their tax base. And our public and our employees understand we don't have their tax base. I'm trying to be
competitive. And that commute is no fun. I do that commute all the time.
I mean, we've got some that leave here and drive it every fourth day.
Let me ask you another question.
Especially in the summer.
And well, you probably have to help with this a little bit. From the time this started July 1st, as far as the new pay increase, as far as Medicaid reimbursement, correct? How long is the turnaround time before you start seeing funds come in off that billing?
Right.
I mean,
that's a good question.
Based on what you talked about before, I'm not going to speak.
Worst outlook, William, be 90 days.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather say 90 days and be conservative on it. Okay. And that's basically, and again, that's why I wanted the billing service here also to verify.
I know at the end of every year, we kind of judge off 90 days.
Okay. And so if this started in July, that'd be July, August, September. We'll just say August, September, October. Okay. So we're just now starting to see the new pay rate come into effect. Is that correct, William? Receivables?
I would think so, but I just get lump sums, so I really don't know what the breakdown is.
Have you done a breakdown per those calls to see if that's actually happening?
I've seen where we're getting billed for those calls, yes.
Okay, and you're being billed, yeah, okay, but receivables is what I'm talking
receivables
about.
Receivables were generally around 115, 120 a month, and I think last month we did 150.
Okay.
So
they're gradually starting to come in. Yes. Which is only about a 12% increase, 10% increase, okay, as far as your receivables, right? Mm-hmm. Dollar volume. Okay.
Mitch, if your plan is correct, and, you know, we took a deep dive into it, right? Mm-hmm. That $53,000, again, that is if you get to full staff, right?
Right.
Now, here's what tell me if this can work. So if that's the right number, can we monitor that on a monthly basis to know, is the revenue on track, is expenses on track, is the number of people hired or going in at the new salary on track? What I don't want to do is to find out that somehow the equation was off and at the end of the year, instead of 50, because I believe it's going to come in under, but we need to be able to know every single month, as you add staff, right? Are we meeting that projection of where we think we'll be? Even if we say that 53 is the worst case, right? And I'd rather figure on the worst case, right, William? You do too. But if we're beating that, we're beating it. But at least we know that is the worst case. So, but there's a second part as far as I'm concerned. What do we find at 53 in the budget? Because I don't like the idea of, well, you know, lapped salaries, and maybe we're going to do this, and maybe we're going to do that. No. If we believe that 53, right, is the worst case, we ought to find $53,000 someplace in the budget now, before we activate anything, to know we're covered. And if everything's right, we're good. But we talked about this one, about if we're going to add an expense, we've got to find a savings someplace, a real savings off some line, right? Then I'm good.
Yeah, it just cannot.
Okay, let me ask a question real quick. In one of our line items, I think we got $300,000 allocated for an animal shelter. That's obviously not going to happen this year, isn't it?
I
go ahead. Go to the mic.
The RFP is 95% done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm meeting with the animal shelter, animal control
mm-hmm.
Officers, and water and maintenance next week to look at two properties that we're considering so I can put that into the RFP. And if the schedule that I have in the RFP holds, I anticipate that by March 1st, we'll be starting the project.
Okay. I find that hard. And the reason I'm saying that is because you're going to seek an architect to draw it.
Okay, if that's the route you guys are going.
We're doing a design build.
Okay, you're doing a design build. All right, you're still going to have to have prints. You're still going to have to build it. I mean, all this stuff's got to go into effect. Plus, the other thing is, too, you know, if I remember correctly, I think we were talking at one time like 1,600 square feet. Then they increased it to 2,400 square feet. Okay. Yeah, when we were doing the budget in here. And that's the reason they had $300,000 in there set for it. So I don't know if this is an option. It could be an option to be able to use that money, okay, to give these increases that we need, bring that project in under budget, which I think we can, okay, and go from there. Now, that's just an idea, and everybody's spitballing right now trying to get something to stick.
Have you researched any other possibilities for this $53,000? Are there any other options?
Not saying that there aren't any. I have not clearly identified one yet, but to speak on the animal control shelter piece, if we were to use that, that's only just a one-time thing. And when we do the salary increase, we have to keep in mind,
well,
it will be recurring.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
That's tax money, correct?
Yes.
Okay. That reoccurs every year, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So instead of it going back in the fund balance, $53,000 will go towards this, and then the next year it will fill back in void,
no,
right?
No. We used ARPA money.
Right.
Oh, you okay, so you use the
we're not using American Rescue Plan money to fund this project, but the reimbursement, the things that we are using American Rescue Plan on this year will allow us to save $300,000, which is what we're using for the animal control shelter.
Okay.
Right. So it wouldn't be something that we have left over year after year after year.
All right.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
In regards to the project starting on March 1st, it is not my intent to start groundbreaking on March 1st. The contract will be signed with the engineering in place so they can start all the things that you identified, the permitting process and all that stuff. But in order to do that, we have to have the funds at least encumbered so that they have that money to work with.
Okay. So. Well, getting back to the same thing, if we did a tax increase in the month of June when we do budget, it's not going to hit until January of 23 or go into 23. Am I correct?
Meaning, yes. I mean, that's approximately correct.
Then,
yes. That's not the answer,
even though that's probably going to happen. But that's not going to be the answer either, because you don't have the money up front to do that. I mean, to have it. I mean, I think there's ways we can get this.
I know your concern, and rightfully so, is not just what we do in the short term, but what we do in the long term.
Yes, sir.
But let me say this. I kind of see it a little bit different, because I think we need to have a real plan that fixes this for this year.
Okay.
Because what we do in next year's budget is part of a full budget. So if we know an expense, and because we're going to, the revenue is going to be larger coming in based on the new I don't call it Medicaid expansion, but that's not what it is in North Carolina. But anyway, the additional dollars that we'll get per call, we figure that in, and that comes in the budget that Mitch submits. We can say yay to that budget, or we can say nay to that budget, right? Mm-hmm. And we can do what we please with that budget. What we think is the right thing to do when I say please. So that's a different issue for me. To me, the issue right now is this the right thing to do now? And are we would be prepared to support this in a new year budget, right? So if $53,000 is the figure, right? Then finding $53,000 and monitoring it so that that is the worst case scenario to me is a must. Right, because you can do that. We can look it. That doesn't, Mitch. We figured this based on the revenue and the expenses to date at that same trajectory, right? And as you add, if you add it back, all of the people,
yes, sir.
That's when you get to 53. We know that's not going to happen. That's going to be some stage kind of process, getting them in, right? So you should come in under that fairly substantially.
Well, we know right now with what's in the transport budget that is below that 55 number with the four positions that we haven't filled.
That's correct. But again, you got to figure it based on the worst case, right? So question is, can we in fact find $53,000 that we can pull off? Now, is there any, I know we have some additional ARP dollars, right?
Yes, sir.
Where are we at?
What are restrictions around using those dollars that we could truly do a real revenue swap thing for?
I sent Mr. Vaughn, I was in a Zoom meeting and I sent him a screenshot of part of the Zoom, and you can use ARPA money for to replace county staff at the level pre-pandemic. And so, yes, we can use the ARPA money to replace staff. But he was going to look to see how much we could use the ARPA money for that.
And we did. We looked into that. So when you, so we are able to use American Rescue Plan funds to bring departments up who are currently understaffed back to pre-pandemic levels. But what that means is that those funds are used for new employees,
yes,
not for. So that will be taking a look at, you know, new employees who come on, it would go to them for how many years we get American Rescue Plan dollars, but not for current staff.
Can we use it for their whole salary for the first year or whatever?
There are four different options or things that ways that we can use the ARP. David, you want to?
All right, I'm going to read you the three options we have with it. And this is research that I did, and I also spoke with the School of Government, folks who are with the ARP. One option is if our FTEs are less than the FTEs of as of January of 20.
FTEs?
Full-time equivalent.
Thank you.
Full-time employees.
You can use the ARP money to pay the salaries of the new employees to get it back up to the level we were at in January of 20, up to that level, not anything above that. We can use.
Yes.
I'm going to say yes.
Yes.
Because that's the best impression I got from that.
And that's the
I didn't ask about unfilled versus filled, but whatever our budgeted level was, we can get back up to that level. So in that same option, you can pay a higher salary to them if you wish. And you can also offer those employees a signing bonus, but only for those people who are new to get us back up to that FTE level. But that's only until the funding period for the ARP runs out, and then we have to, the county has to pick up the number, just like we would normally have to. The second option is you can give everyone a salary increase. You can fund salary increases that are needed to attract and retain employees. You must be able to demonstrate that 50% or more of the time of those employees is spent on COVID-related or COVID-specific response, which in discussion with Mitch, we believe we can do that.
Okay.
If we can do it for over 50% of their time towards COVID specific responses, then we can use ARP funds in order to support that salary increase. Again, it's only for the time that the money is available, then we have to meet that.
I heard a couple of things. I just want to be specific on the language. Right then, I just heard you said salary increase before you said salary. Those are two different things. Is it the full salary?
The first one is salaries for new employees.
Full salaries
okay. For new employees. This one is raises in order to retain and attract employees. So the $19 that he's asking for those we could increase the salary to that, give it across the board because we're keeping current and new.
Gotcha.
And
how much the way?
Otherwise, if we can't guarantee that, if we can't demonstrate that it's a 50% or more towards COVID specific, then we can still do it but only pay a proportionate share of the salary increase. And I don't know what that proportion is. I didn't get into that detail yet.
Have you guys looked or tried to identify any line items that are running under budget
to fill this gap? No, sir. There are some who are running slightly under, but not to the extent that we thought we'd be able to really.
How much money
fill that gap?
Process. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because this sounds like it's the answer.
How much money do we have in the ARP? ARP.
Based upon what we have budgeted so far, we have 95 left from this round. 95,000, approximately. Correct. This round.
We need. 53,000. Yeah. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, yeah, but you, I want to be sure of nothing. So we have 98, 95. But you said as long as we're getting ARP money. So we still have the second piece of ARP money to come, right? So does that mean that we can continue this not only through this cycle, but the second piece we get?
ARP funding goes, we have to have expended the ARP funding that we receive by January, by 24.
Right? That we've received.
But that we received. And from my understanding, my interpretation of that, I don't have a clarification on that right now. My interpretation of that is we've been awarded 3.8 million.
Right.
So that 3.8 million is what we're talking about, not just what we've only received thus far, the 3.8.
Sure.
So that's my interpretation of it.
So you're going to give us all of this time to spend the first half, but not much time to spend the second half?
I'm sorry.
They're giving us all the time we've gotten.
24.
Oh, yeah. So, well, 24. Yeah. Okay.
Because we don't know when we're getting that next level, but our anticipation is we're going to get it at the end of June, just like we did.
But it does go through 24.
But we have to have expended all of it by 24.
Right.
So in your opinion and your research, can we pay the salaries of his? You said you need to hire two folks.
We need to hire two folks on transport. I need to hire eight on EMS.
All right, so the eight on EMS, we could use our ARPA money to hire them and pay their salaries until 2024. Is that what you're telling us?
Or until the funds run out.
Yes. Well, yeah, that'll probably happen before 2024.
Well, what about
we
the
just
current,
have to have it expended by the 25.
What about the current employees, though?
I'm sorry?
What about the current employees?
Well, again, Medicaid money is going to take care of that.
That's the second item on there about retain and attract employees, meaning keeping the people we have plus filling the vacancies we have, we can do salary increases.
Okay. And the whole thing about whether we continue to spend ARP money or not for 24, to me, is a decision that we make at budget time, because maybe we don't want to do that. Maybe we want to count for it in our budget and the revenue we know we're going to get in, not ARP, so we can do other things with ARP money. Right?
Well,
so that's a decision you make at budget time.
But just remember that money's not going to come in until January after June, okay?
January after
if we do something with taxes.
Well, a tax increase.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I want everybody to keep that in mind. It's not instantaneously.
No. But those are great options. We have the options. We're looking at $52,000. I mean, that's not.
I'll give you also this third option, so you'll know.
Yes,
it,
please.
Even though it's a little less. You can offer premium pay for the employees that's on that are working now, which are salary supplements up to $13 an hour. The total per employee is $25,000, and then there's a limitation as to how much they can make if they're making over 150% over the normal wage for an employee, to average wage, which is $51,000 for statewide employees, then they can't get all of that. But anyway, you can do a salary supplement up to $13 an hour above what they're making now, up to $25,000.
So, I mean, we were asked to, kind of told to hold on to these funds because of some internet broadband, but you know, we have a need right now. So out of those three options, what gives us the best option for our staffing issues and our budget issues?
Let me mix you one thing, Chairman, about the broadband. Remember that they just passed the infrastructure bill, which includes broadband money. That's coming to the states and going to be distributed virtually the same way. So there will be additional funds for broadband.
I think it was total $1.8
trillion. You guys have looked at this, and Mitch, four of you guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you recommend? What do you recommend as the best way to do that? The best way to cover that $53,000 and to know and to be able to track? where we are. It's important that there are no surprises.
And honestly, commissioners, that's for me, that is a loaded question. And just because, let me run through a couple of things. The first option that he mentioned, of course, there's an option for new employees, but that just covers new. And I know it was important for us to, you know, be able to do something to retain employees as well. The second one, we just have to make sure that when it comes to providing increases for our current employees, you have to make sure that they are dedicated over at least 50% of their time to COVID. And we just have to be able to do that and not only do it, but track it. They want to be able to us to demonstrate that we're doing that. So as long as we're doing that and we're able to continue doing that through 2024, you know, so it's kind of like it's some variables in there. So it's hard to say this is the absolute best one.
Based on the fact that we could justify this by saying that 50% of their time is spent on this, then after we put a trigger on that, they say, oh, no, that's not going to work. We don't do that.
We'd be out of fund balance.
Yes.
So if we come up say with 35%, maybe we might be 15% on the
But actually, and what William's saying is correct, because then it's going to play into June to where we can make up the difference and pay off in January. And by the time they look at it, then we can offset it with what we're going
to
be doing.
And what makes it a little bit more complicated is we're already doing this to some degree, right?
That's part of the thing we're talking about earlier about using ARPA money to free up the money.
Yes. Okay. So that's what
makes it.
Makes sense.
Yes.
Oh, but that's great research. Thank you, sir.
I just like to go back to the 53 you keep talking about, and I know what you're saying, but I also know that unless Mitch has people right there to hire, he's not going to fill those positions.
Right.
So each month that goes by, that 53 is going to come down some.
That's correct. Right.
And I think to a point where we might could take one position and say, look, we're going to hold this position unless you really, really need it. At that point, he should be able to come back and say, we got this much more revenue coming in, and we can add additional revenue if we fill this last position. Because I think that position is about, what, 50,000.
Yeah.
So.
And getting back to what you're saying, the main piece of this puzzle is the retention part. Okay.
Yes.
The retention part is what we got to really concentrate on, is retaining the people we have now. And if we can do this, then it's something that's a win-win all the way.
But I do agree, worst case.
Right. Help me understand against what you're saying. Go over that once again. I want to make sure I heard that correctly.
What okay. You just said.
Yeah. So like right now, he's got how many positions?
It's five total on the transfer.
Every month that goes by,
and each month
decrease.
That goes by, we're going to save a little bit because we're not paying that
position. Income.
That is correct.
Which means that 53, which was worst case scenario, would is drop. Going to start diminishing.
That's what I thought you said. So there is a clear way to monitor what
yes.
it truly is going to cost on a monthly basis, right?
I think
knowing
so.
That 53 is the worst case.
Is the worst case.
That's all I'm asking for.
Okay.
William.
And it also, we're going to have the increase that's coming in that's going to start following higher and higher as far as the amount of business going out and the $1,000 trip deal and all that.
As he starts putting more people on.
But if you don't,
wait a minute, guys. Too many folks talk.
If he starts filling those positions, he should also start increasing his revenue as well, which is the whole goal in NETS is to try to get revenue to help offset EMS.
If this is correct, with the amount of calls on the 30% range, we should round up somewhere around $120,000.
All right. I believe Commissioner Wesson had a thought. All right. Great. Commissioner Wesson, Atkinson.
That was based
on
hiring. If we were on that line, people, and I'm not, you say we can't,
oh, because of overtime.
Positions that we're talking about is going to save money. Those positions are transport positions. So if we're estimating, you know, $50,000 for one position, we've got four that are at the $50,000 mark, and we got one that's at the $66,000 mark for a coordinator. So that's $260,000 right there if we don't fill those positions. To cover the worst case scenario, if you didn't get revenue and you didn't fill the positions. I mean, even if you went back to the $223,000, if we held those five positions, it would still cover that. That is the worst of the worst case. That's the doomsday number.
Okay. Mitch, I can appreciate you being concerned about the non-emergency side, but we have a general statute that dictates that we have to worry about the emergency side. So you said you needed 8 positions.
I need 8 positions on the EMS side.
All right.
But now, and I get what you're saying, but I want y'all to understand, I play a double-edged sword every day, all right? There's a 911 side that no questions asked, we have to go. There's a transport side that I know at the end of the day, if it don't come in the
box, he's calling. It helps pay the bill.
And then y'all are going to look at it.
That's right.
My goal is to make that transport side as successful as possible so it can continue to support the 911 side.
Right.
Our 911 side, if we can get, say if we can fill 4 of those 8 positions, it gets us back to the 19%, which gets us below the point of the worst number.
Yeah.
Our first goal is to get below 19%. My end goal is to fill them all. I mean, do I think I can fill them all? I think by next year, because we were on target for a dual medic system, all right? And I'm not downplaying anything, but our surrounding area went through this pandemic, and our paramedic classes dropped down to low. Our EMT program at the high school stopped because of COVID, and we're not producing as many as we used to. We're having to fight to pull these people in from other counties. And as we can continue to grow, our colleges continue to produce, then we're going to ramp back up. But our numbers are based off both sides all together, because we don't want to come in here and show you the EMS numbers, and then you look at the transport numbers and go, well, why did that increase so much? Ours are across the board, and my goal is to get below that 19%. And then as I start to see our transport numbers go up, I'm going to call him and him, and I'm going to say, this is what my revenues are. This is what my overtime is. We've always had the understanding, and I know this is new administration, but I've always had the understanding that as I saw my call volume go up, that I could increase my employee load to offset that overtime and continue that positive revenue stream. Good
business. Getting back with the increase that we were talking about as far as billing for 911, things of that nature, and we figured at 120 calls, okay, that are on that Medicaid out of the 411, okay, we're talking about $111,000 increase, which is over above what we normally would receive in. And that's from July to October 30th. That's what it should be.
But the increase is $223,000.
No, I understand, but that's only till October. We're making ground.
Yeah, I mean, be realistically, guys. I mean, the situation, there's a fix, there's an answer here. That's
exactly.
It's not going to cost us any money. As long as we can correctly track it and roll it out so we get what we expect, right? And in order to get what we expect, we got to be inspecting it every single month to know we're on track. But that. I believe in the numbers. And John, you're right. That does not even count that additional money. And if that money comes in,
very conservative, figuring $27,000 a month added income coming in. Very conservative.
Can we not continue to monitor it? And if we need to dip into the and do the ARPA money, if it's not going to even itself out by the end of the year, can we backtrack and use the ARPA money then?
Can we make ARP last resort?
No, we can backtrack, but if we were to come back here and say that there's going to be a deficit, then we could always look at the money to see if there was
to fill that void.
So what you're saying is let him run a larger deficit and then fill it on the back end?
I don't know if we can do it that way. I really don't.
Do we need to say let's use ARPA money now? Is that what you're...
When do you have to commit to doing it?
I mean, if there's something that you go back, you can say you took
the
time to go back and
put the
numbers
on. I don't know. I hadn't thought that kind of a...
Yeah,
madam. If you ask him, and I'm not speaking for the manager here. If
my thought is I'd like us to find a way to do this without impacting the ARP funds, because there's a lot of other things we could be and should be doing with that. And what we're trying to do is identify a way to make this an ongoing balance. I'm not going to say profitable because we're not trying for profit here, but we're trying a balanced process that we're able to retain our employees and pay them what others are being paid. And ARP is just a temporary fix, in my opinion.
But and I agree that we shouldn't be taking it out of ARPA. But also, we cannot take it out of fund balance. So
I'm not proposing that.
Yes. Yeah. So what is the...
What is your option, the other answer then, David?
We got to come up with the budget. 53.
Exactly. As I said before, where are we running under at?
I don't have an easy answer. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I think
I'd rather take it from ARPA than anything else.
It's not going to be a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be, we do it already. I mean, we know what we're doing. We know what we're spending. So,
well, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure you're wrong. I'm just trying to understand. You're saying, I'm sorry. You're saying monitor. Well, once we make the decision to do this, we monitor. I absolutely agree that we need to. But if it's not having the effect that we wanted to have, if we're not seeing the result, how do we correct it?
I think we'll know that, Greg, because the revenue is coming in every single month and the current expenses. As we add people, will that new revenue cover what we need, what we expect it to be? But if the loss is going to be 53,000, right? So your revenue, your expenses, and as you add a person, you'll know if you're tracking toward 53,000 or if you're tracking to 100,000. You follow me?
I follow that. We'll know whether these salaries increases had the effect that we hoped it would or not, but I don't know how, if it doesn't, we would fix it. I'm not sure what you're saying there.
Well, that was my thought about the ARPA money.
Remember where it works is that as you add them, it should reduce expense, right? And if that works, we should see that happening.
Right.
If we don't see it happening, we stop it. We don't go any further.
But how do you stop salary increases that you've already given them? I don't understand.
But you can't cut all of it, but that's figured in the 53,000 as if you did them all, right?
William, you got to say something.
That's if you did them all.
I kind of want to go back to your question. You keep saying, where are we running short? Keep in mind, we've only 3 months into the year.
That's right.
So it's very hard. As we get farther in the year, I'm pretty sure there's going to be areas that we can recognize that we might could go grab some money from.
But that's a gamble. And it's making our county manager very nervous.
It's always a gamble, but I've been doing this for 10 years. And for 10 years, we've always underspent our projected.
Then why are we in the shape we're in then?
Why is it so hard for us to say?
Fund allocation.
Why is it so hard for us
to go in
and cut $53,000? No, you can cut $53,000 by cutting X amount of dollars out of every budget, county budget. That give you $53,000.
Exactly.
Yeah, more than that. Before. And you ain't got to cut that much in order to get $53,000. But it's a real cut and it's a real savings.
And once the billing starts coming in, we're going to start making up ground.
That's not the money out of the size of our budget.
Right. Yeah. And I'm not saying that it's impossible, but we all sat around the table and went through that budget during budget time. And we know that the budget is very lean. I'm not saying we can't find 53, but we have reduced the budget significantly over the past 2 years. And the budget is very lean.
It's not like it used to be when we had some fluff in there.
Madam Chair, can I say something, please? Manager,
yes,
commissioners, even though we had to do, may have to do a quick fix, a temporary fix, I think, you know, this is drawn out too long. We had waste too much time and we losing too many people to the emergency management service. I think we need to use ARP money on a temporary base until we get them where they need to be. And at the same time, if other revenues come in, we can use other revenues to do other things.
All right, thank you, Commissioner. So can we not, to his comment, can we not ensure that this $53,000 with no guessing be taken care of using the ARPA money? Can we not justify what we need to justify and take care of the remaining of this year using the ARPA money, and then when we sit down to do our budget next year,
right,
we do raise taxes. We do whatever we got to do, cut other budgets, cut. I don't know how we can cut anybody else. I don't know how we make any further cuts in the budget. So, I mean, but to take care of this year, can we not justify using the ARPA money further?
It's hard for me to say yes, 100%, but I can say we can absolutely go back, sit down and try. And the reason it's hard for me to say yes with 100% confidence right now is, again, with the way that we already have our budget for ARPA funds, we're already planning to use some of that to pay a percentage of EMS salary as it stands right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so.
But that's for current salary. I mean, current employees. We're talking using it for new employees, taking us back to the level pre-pandemic.
Yeah, right. So we can take a look at it. I think there's a way.
Mr. Scarborough has a thought. Right.
So, and this is for Mitch's benefit. If we use it just to get new employees, bring them back up to the level we are.
That's more than 53.
Well, I'm not even talking the money just for a second. We'll just talk. The what Mitch is trying to do is raise the salaries for all of his employees to be comparable to the other counties so that we can retain employees. If we're bringing in new people and we're using the ARP funds just to bring in new people, are you just raising the salaries for those employees?
No.
Or are you going to try and bring them in at the same level as everybody else is right now? That's what that first option is really doing. You can bring them in at the same salary, or you can bring them in at a higher salary if you want, but it's only for new employees. If the purpose behind what we're trying to do is not only retain, but attract new employees, we need to look at what Mitch is saying as far as raising the hourly rate.
Maybe I have misunderstood the whole conversation then. So my interpretation is that we only need $53,000 to give all his current staff and the ones that he's going to hire his full $53,000 more for this fiscal year. Okay.
Correct.
So can we not pay the salary of two employees, new employees for the whole year using ARPA funds, and that would make up the $53,000 that we need?
But that's the rate that he is paying them now.
Yeah.
Which, when he hires them, will be the new rate.
But just those two employees.
That's just two. You still got to pay the others when you hire them.
Exactly.
That doesn't count. Okay.
There's two ways.
Yes.
The first way is we're going to bring.
But the Medicaid funds is going to take care of the other.
The question is, are you going to raise the rates?
Yes.
The hourly rates for all employees, yes or no?
Yes.
If you can do yes, and then you're going to hire so that's not just the first option is you have eight vacancies, you're going to hire eight people using our ARP money.
No, we don't need to use it for all of them. You can justify using one salary.
But you don't get the full $53,000 unless you do them all. It's going to be less than that. It's going to be more.
The salary will be about $53,000.
But you only get the savings when you fill them all. So if you don't fill them all, the loss is going to be way more than $53,000.
All right. Wait a minute, y'all. So between the Medicaid money, we only need to hire everyone that he needs to hire, we need $53,000 more for this year. Is that
if it comes in like the projected revenue.
If we're thinking, all right, so why can so we're $53,000 short.
Now, if he's true in estimating that we have about 95 we have not committed, with y'all's agreement, I could try to bump that percentage up that I'm taking from others and try to use that money to cover that shortage.
And that would, yeah.
I think that's the best.
Yeah, let me just ask one other thing. I agree with you. I have a problem. Let me ask you a question. $53,000. What is our budget for department budgets? How many millions of dollars? What's the budget? What is 53,000? What percent of our budget?
What, about 25 million?
Of the county, of those departments' budgets. Yes, sir. The whole budget for the departments. It comes out to.
I'll give you that.
That's all you'd have to cut out of every department. It's pennies. It's small dollars. It's nothing really. And that way you save every one of your ARP dollars. And we don't have to obligate those dollars. We might need those dollars.
0.001 cents.
That's the percentage you cut from every department.
It's less than a percent.
That's nothing. That's less than 1%.
That's less than 1%.
And you get $53,000, but you make it a real cut.
So what
to everybody's
said,
budget.
What I said about finding where the loose ends are at is basically about best route.
You do it right way. Everybody puts a little skin in the game. Everybody.
Everybody might not want to put skin in the game.
Well, if they want the best for the county, they would.
No, that's what I. Look, that's where my
how much
going?
Okay, how many dollars? What dollars? John got a percentage.
And some departments don't have
less
wait a
than
minute, 1%. Any fluff at all. I mean, they have their salaries. And
you said it was 25 or 35. I forget.
What's the percentage?
What is it?
The general fund budget is approximately 25 million.
Okay. Yes.
So it's about 0.2%.
0.2%. Is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
Which works out to 0.2%. What would the average department? I mean, that's 0.2%. Why?
It's 0.002%.
That's a couple hundred dollars.
Right. If you move it,
0.002%.
No, but to turn it into a percent, it'll actually be 0.2%.
That's right. The math major. Yeah, I trust it. But
no, I don't trust any math major.
But the 2%.
I don't know who was sitting beside
okay.
it when it was in the
so
class.
Look at the William. The average department here had to give 2% of their budget, right? It's usually 0.2%. 0.2%. That's not even noticeable.
Oh, 15, give or take.
But you're doing a percentage. You're doing a percentage.
Well, we could
you're doing a percentage.
Anyhow.
So it's touching everybody the same way.
She has.
Yeah, no, some of her.
She has very little to fluff there. I mean,
yeah, but because you're doing a percentage, it's not hurting her. It's not you doing the same dollar amount for every department. It's the same percentage. I mean, that seems easy.
You know, I'm just sitting here looking at both sides of it. I'm thinking, you know, as having been in charge of a county budget in the past, I would not have been happy about them coming up and saying we need a percentage of budget. My answer to that as a commissioner would be, well, you know, next year it might be you. We might need to take a percent of everybody's budget for your department. And, you know, I guess that's both sides of that.
And that's where you run a real business. You don't plan on the come or what's going to come down the line. We got to treat everybody equally. This is a thing for the county. And that kind of little bit of share. And if you figure out the dollar amount, I think you're going to find out it's so minor. I mean, there ain't anybody going to raise even an eyebrow. Whether it's DSS or anybody else, because it's a percentage. It's not like hurting anybody anymore. It has the same impact on veteran services that it would have on the MS. I mean, on DSS.
All right.
Same percentage.
We have some options. I mean, that sounds good if the other staff don't. Yeah, you may get some.
I think we need to look closely at
phone calls, Mr. Mitch.
I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think we just need to say we want to do that right now. I just think we need to research
what it would be. Sure, I agree. I agree.
Save you money. Just
think it's my problem. But, yeah, and anyways. But he needs to Greg's point, we need to act sooner rather than later on his staffing shortage.
Absolutely. Now, I just think 1 minute, Mitch, I don't want to do this. I do. I'm just trying to do my job as a commissioner, making sure.
That's right.
Y'all have a tough job.
Yes.
My goal is to walk out of here and fix my problem today, but I understand y'all have a tough job.
And is this going to fix it? I mean, that's the. It didn't fix another department's.
In my heart, the way I manage things, I'm going to put my neck out there. So I'm going to fix it.
And
William, do you think you can find that 2%?
0.2.
Is it 2 or 0.2?
0.02.
0.2.
Point.
Point.
Year, I've been scared, but I think you can.
you don't have to find it, do you? I mean, you just apply it. You say to every department, we're gonna cut your budget by 0.2%. This is your new budget number for the year. Manage toward that budget.
Well,
that's how you do it in business, right?
Something's gonna lose somewhere. I mean, you can't really do it that way, but you could look at your line items.
Some departments don't have it.
You don't want.
I mean, they don't have it in their budget.
You've got a salary line item, you've got a
contracted
service.
Right.
Basically, it doesn't have
anything
in here.
Exactly.
Right. And it's that way for a couple of small departments, and like court needs as well. And Veteran Service is right. Another.
And I think economic development started off with $50,000 in there, correct? In their budget.
No.
Over and above.
That's what you're talking
something
about.
Like that, yeah.
We're going to use that for that company this year. And probably some more.
Right. Exactly. Because we're concerned that we don't have enough for the things we have planned for that line item. Another concern is we remember we cut Board of Elections quite a bit. And we were trying to, that's the one that William and I have been talking about. We cut the budget, but it turns out there was something that she still needed to do that we were thinking that she would not have to do. So that's something that we're trying to juggle to make sure with that cut, we're still able to take care of what needs to be taken care of because elections is,
how
of
much
course,
was in that cut?
You said how much was that cut?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember right off the top of my head, but we cut it quite a bit because of, you know, it was a lot of traveling and that type of stuff included.
What do you think it was, William?
If you have an expense that you know is going to come up in there, right?
15,
where's that money going to come from? You're going to have to take it out of, if you give it to them, right? That's not in the budget. If you're saying there's some expense that is likely to come up for elections, that's not in the budget, right?
Yeah. So go ahead.
So where's that money coming from?
We've been trying to switch some things around within her department to make sure that it's taken care of. Is that right?
And if you can't, you're going to be faced with the same thing you face now. You don't want to take it from fund balance, so you got to take it from someplace else. If that's the rule, which I thought we all had agreed on, that was the rule, any new spending had to be found in the budget. So why are we playing around with this rule? That's the rule. Now, I would be more upset in the budget if in a department, if you took more from me percentage-wise, than you took from somebody else, because the budgets are supposed to be, you know,
well, and
equally applied.
If some departments don't have it to take, they don't have it to take. So I still like my idea. I mean, I don't like it using ARPA money, but why can we not for today say ARPA's money is going to take it, and those departments that do have some fluff, if what little fluff there is, but designate today that, you know, we either find it in those departments that have a little extra, or we take it from ARPA.
Let me ask this. Maybe this has been addressed, if I may. I want to make sure I understand this. You're running in a deficit, right? If we do nothing, if we just say we're going to do nothing, you're going to run out of money, right? And at that point, we've got to find some money.
Right.
So we've got to find some money.
Right.
It's not a matter
of
whether we've got to find some money.
And the faster you act, the less it's going to cost you. That's right. The important part.
That's my point.
The question I want to ask is, this 53 that you're throwing out a while ago is an estimate. We don't know what it's going to be. So now we're going to run and take all these departments and take money away from them to cover something that may not even happen because.
Right. Absolutely, William.
That's crazy.
That's the way you run a business. Because if you don't, we end up like we are every single year. That the money ain't there we thought was going to be there. So we don't want to do that anymore. Isn't that what we agreed to do? I mean, come on, guys. I mean, we kept saying, the money's coming in. The money's coming in. And the money don't ever come in.
These one positions, you made up the money. You don't have to touch anybody else's budget.
That's an option. There are a lot of options, but they got to be real options, not, what we might want. You know.
And we need to decide that today so the staff have a clear understanding.
If you freeze the coordinator's position, it's over $66,000.
And that makes. Are you willing to do that?
I can make it to next year without a coordinator. I made it this far.
That's not good.
What does your coordinator do?
For non-emergency transport.
Okay.
I mean, we need to get back in and fix our call volume. We had a bad year 2019 going into 2020. That person was not there during COVID. That person person's not there now. If we freeze that, it covers the debt of what we need to cover
for this year. We'll talk about next year.
And then we can roll in next year. And
that's an option.
That sounds
a lot of good. And we'd save the COVID money, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, you know, like money.
If he's willing to do that, County manager?
Okay.
You're good with that? I mean, because overall, it's your responsibility. I mean, it's our responsibility but it is your day to day responsibility.
So his responsibility is to manage what we decide.
Right.
So it's our responsibility to decide.
Yes. Overall, say it again.
I trust you, Mitch, but it just makes me nervous.
Yes,
but,
I understand.
But well, if that's the plan, we'll do the best we can. I'm sorry.
What is it about that makes you nervous?
It's the entire thing with us putting things in place to make sure that we can try to build our fund balance, reducing the budget, and because rebuilding our fund balance is my number one priority, in addition to making sure staff are taken care of and we take care of county operations. And so if, revenue come in the way that we're projecting, hopefully it will, that we should see an increase, of course. We just don't know exactly how much. The projection of 230, hopefully it's a very good projection. We don't know. So it's somewhat like a gamble that we're taking.
It is.
But, I understand where we are, and we just have to. So that's answering the question. That's what makes me nervous.
Well, I can tell you this. EMS, emergency services, is our biggest investment we have. Non-emergency transport was our biggest investment we've had. It's been profitable every year, except when we got to 19 and 20, probably because of COVID, things of that nature. And this is an investment in itself. And I think if we can do it the way Mitch has said, freeze that position, the money's already sitting in the budget already, correct? Okay. Then that's the direction we need to go. Yeah. And then we move from there and take care of it.
It's definitely the best answer because you're right, John. It's there. And if either crazier things were to happen, the ARP dollars are still available to us. Later on in the year, if we had to make any budget changes, that's still available to us. So Mitch is taking the real, brunt of this. He's willing to take that brunt of this on his shoulders because he wants to be able to fix what's wrong in the department. So I admire you, Mitch.
And I think
that's the way to do
it. I also think that with Mitch doing that, and William was saying that earlier under his breath over there, but make a long story short, I think as the year progressively moves forward, as William has come up here and said, he's going to find some more money, okay, in case we have a lapse somewhere, okay? As the budget moves forward, okay? As the budget moves forward, there could be some money that is also available to help out.
Right. And Mitch, by you freezing, and I admire you for doing that, but by you freezing that position, with this enable you to give your other employees a increase?
Our numbers include entry salary. It includes our 5-year compression rate increases. It also includes for our admin staff, for our chief, our clinical affairs officer, and our administrative assistant. So all these numbers include across the board to prevent compression and to increase the minimum salary.
Yeah.
So, I would just like to go on record.
So they would go up to $19 now.
Who?
That's the base salary.
That's the base.
Yeah.
Okay. You would ask for an increase for them on how many dollars per, what percent per hour?
So base salary would be 19, and in our department, the way it's written in our policy when we started EMS, every 5 years is a 3% increase.
Okay.
So every 5 years of experience is 3%. Now, in future years, I want to discuss that too, because that's 5 years. It's hard to find somebody with 5 years. 3 years is somebody solid now.
Right.
But that's for in the future.
I read something where 2 years is the life, or 2 or 3 years is the life of an EMT.
Burnout rate for a new paramedic now is 2 years because of what they're
I mean, but and that was before COVID.
If you're willing to take this hit now, and that's a full year hit is what you're looking at the dollar amount. But if the numbers come in as we hope they will come in, you may be able to move to add the position later in the year, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not just, I mean, you're willing, right now you're on the hook for the whole.
Yeah.
But as the numbers come in and the additional revenue, everything else, that may be 5 months down the line, 4 months down the line, depending on what the numbers are. That's why the monitoring each month and tells us where we are.
Like I say, the other four positions will not get filled unless the correct transport side can produce, you know, that's
the key piece.
Yeah.
They won't fill them unless the revenue is there to support it, right?
The hit that you're taking.
On the transport
I would like
side.
To go on record in saying, and I believe the county managers this way as well, I don't like doing across the board raises for a department. But we have a general statute that dictates to us that we have to provide emergency services. And we're not able to do that as effectively as we'd like with the shortages that we are seeing at this correct point. So for that, I'm going to be voting yes on this across the board raise because of that. Okay. I just, if there's other employees listening, other departments listening, I want them to understand my thought process and voting for this raise.
You ready to take a motion?
I will be.
Wait a minute, County Manager. Before you do, you just have a lot of information here. It turns out you may not even need it, but I don't want you all to make the vote without at least taking a look at it and then going back later and said, oh, I didn't know I had this here. So we just provided some other information to you comparing the revenues and expenditures for net EMS over the past few years, the total, as well as the projected revenues to actual revenues for EMS and net as well. So I just want you to know that that's there. We can take a look at it. If y'all have any questions, be happy to answer. I just want you to know that it is here and available to you. Not sure if it will make a difference.
We have an update yet on Wednesday.
He's scheduled to come to our next meeting, December 6th.
And with that, I would also like to add, I do appreciate everything that your employees do for this county. We could, you know, and anyways, I wanted to know that how much I appreciate them. And
they know that we have a lot of conversations around the table. We cook a meal and have conversations about, you know, they appreciate everything you do. They understand and are well versed about the challenges the county's going through and
I'd like to add just one thing. In regards to the RFP for the animal shelter, I will point out that while we're moving forward on this, there's no money that's going to be allocated to it until March. So if we're monitoring this on a monthly basis through March, I mean, February, we're hoping to sign the contract. So by February, we can take a better view. And if it looks like that's going to be the case that we're not making, not be able to meet our goal of paying for this, then that would be when I would suggest that we consider we've got a contractor in place, but we can delay the contract until next year and find funding for that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. As opposed to doing it now and saying, you know,
it's going to be next year anyhow.
You know, let's just wait.
But this year we have the money because of ARPA.
So we're right now for the animal control shelter. And what I'm saying is that, you know, we put the RFP out, get contractors in, we'll select a vendor, but the contract wouldn't be signed until after February 1st. So by looking at these, doing a monthly update on this and how we're doing with funding for that, if it looks like we're going to be okay, then we can just keep moving forward with it. If not, then we can delay the signing of the contract.
Just as Mitch has lots of support, and that's been shown to us through comments for his department, the animals have their people too. And we have the state telling us we have to do this.
Well, as you just explained, it's not our intentions to do this. Yeah. It's not our intentions to do that in case we have to do it. All right.
So is there a motion on the floor?
I make a motion that we freeze the position in Mitch's department as a organized, what would you call a position? I'm sorry.
Transport
Transport coordinator.
Position. Transport coordinator.
All in favor say
it. This is to make sure I understand. This motion is just to freeze that position, right? They have another motion about the salaries.
We're going to put in that next set. I'd say that'd be the next motion.
That's fine.
So
yeah.
All right. So all in favor of freezing this position, say aye.
Aye.
Hearing, are there any nays? Is there a motion for the salary increase?
I make a motion for the salary increase.
I'll second it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you so much for all your hard work. Thank staff for all their hard work. Yeah, it's been a long, hard battle, but we got there.
Chair, so, we may want to, because I know this has been a little hard to follow, we may want to sum up for the public why we did this, that the point is that this was originally brought to us because of a deficit that was a result of lack of manpower, unable to hire and retain people, that it was actually costing us money. Purpose for these salary increases so we can not just increase the salary, but so we can hire and retain people, which hopefully the result of that will be able to actually save money in the long run.
Saving you close to $100,000.
It will actually cost the county less money, put it in simple terms, to give these salary increases.
I hope they heard you since your mic is not close by, but you did a great job summing that up.
Well, I just think it's important for people to understand, and I know it's been hard. This conversation we had has probably been hard to follow.
Yes.
The other piece of that, and I agree, you said it very well, but the other piece is that it allows us to maintain the level of service that citizens want from us, deserve from us. It's not just about the money. The money is to maintain the service. That's what we don't want.
Yeah, y'all got some rust off of me Monday.
Joe, were you able to hear Commissioner Atkins? Who's monitoring?
Yes, we can hear Commissioner Atkins now.
All right, great. Well, he did a great job summing it up there. Okay. Good luck hiring. I hope this helps.
As director of Burke T. County Emergency Services since March 12, 2012, I appreciate y'all's time. I appreciate everything y'all do for us, y'all do for me. And I promise I'm going to make you proud. I promise I'm going to continue to make you proud. I need 20 more years. So. I know everybody's going to be happy. Thank y'all so much. I'm going back to the shock clinic.
Yes, thank you. How long will y'all be out there?
Until 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I might come.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'll see you later.
All right. So one thing that I omitted in the very beginning, I did not do a roll call, and that is because we're all here and present, and I just didn't think about it. So you've heard from all of us, so I guess that's roll call enough. Okay, I need to take a 5-minute break. Ready. Bring this meeting back to order. Next on the agenda is the financial overview from County Manager and William.
Up to the mic, please. And so, again, this is another discussion from our last meeting where we discussed the provided the financial overview for the first quarter of the fiscal year. William provided this summary and commissioners had some feedback, and this time is set aside for us to discuss, first of all, exactly what it is that we have here, and then improving upon this, or if you all would like to see something new, because this has been requested that we provide a summary monthly, and we just want to make sure that we're providing exactly what you all want to see. And so I think it'll be ideal for us to first start off with exactly what this is and what we have here. So will you want to start off taking a look at the top with the revenues?
Okay. As we got here, we have our different categories of revenue. We have the budget amount, we have what was received in September, and we have the year-to-date total. The next column is percent to date based on the budgeted number. And then the last column is where we compare to last year at the same time. I know one of the things I keep hearing is that if we're 3 months into the year, we should be at 25%. Well, if you look down there, it's not 25%, but it's better than where we were last year at this time. But also, we've already talked about it earlier, we have certain categories that may go 30, 60, 90 days into next year before we get the money in. So the comparison to last year, to me, is the ultimate goal, is to see how we're running to the previous year.
That's right.
And we are running better.
And just to make sure, everybody's tracking and see where we are. So for revenues, we budgeted, you see that 31.4 million. As of September, we had 1.6, or for the month of September. And then year to date, we had 3.4. So overall, the percent to date is 11%. Last year, we were at 9.6. So we're a little bit more than a percent, better than we were last year, as far as revenues are concerned.
Also, I guess we have to keep in mind, too, is that there's a lot of pretty large one-time expenditures that whenever you make that expenditure, it kind of throws this percentage off, right?
I mean, well, the expenditures, but we're looking at revenues at this minute. We're just looking at revenues. I haven't got down to the expenditure section.
But the nice part about this, William, is the further you go into the year, the more it trues up.
Yes, right?
Exactly. Yes. And you know exactly where you're standing at. And right. We end up flying way out of whack here. We got to figure out why.
In fact, that brings up another interesting thing. And I'm kind of skipping out of order, but I'd like for you to look at it. You take the year-to-date total and look at the bottom, we received $3.4 million. You look at the bottom for expenditures, we spent $5.6 million. So the question is, we spent a lot more. Hence the reason we have fund balance and all to get us through the lean time. Because most of our revenue usually comes in during November, December, and January. That's when most of your property tax comes in. And that's the majority of what we get. So I wanted to point that out as well.
Yeah, that's why, too, anytime when our fund balance drops below a certain percentage, of course, LGC, their first question is, do you have enough money to make payroll?
And that's one reason we're looking at a 38% increase in fund balance.
The bottom section is all the different departments and categories that are in the general fund for expenditures. Again, we have the budget. We have what we spend in September. We have year to date. We have our percentage to date, which again, you think 25%, even though it may not quite do that. Some of them are very close. Some of them are a little low. Some of them are a little high. One of the ones that I'm looking at right here that jumps out at me is if you go down about midway, there's a medical examiner. It says 41.1%. Well, that looks really high, but also last year it was at 58.7. And I really have no control over that because what it is autopsies and things like that. So, you know, it's going to be what it is.
Yeah. And with more deaths in the county because of COVID and everything else. So it's going to be there.
So, but any of the other ones, I think briefly, we kind of summarized a few things of concern, not necessarily issues, but a few things we talked about last meeting that was areas we might want to keep an eye on. But other than those, at this moment, I don't really see anything that really jumps out at me. But now I would like to go over to the back page. And one of the biggest things I want you to look at there is permits and fees. It looks like we're doing a whole lot better than we did last year at this time. But keep in mind, last year we had restrictions on being able to collect penalties and interest and all this kind of stuff. So you get to see how big of an impact that had on our enterprise fund, the water fund.
But in that same thing, you can't really compare because COVID was, so next year when we do the comparison, it will be a real comparison.
But even though the water sales and all sales and service, it actually looks like we're a little bit higher than we were last year at this time, which is a good sign because we were trying to increase. We done a rate change and all. So we would anticipate seeing an increase there. So in summary, I guess that's a review of this sheet and now I'm opening up for.
I like it.
You had in mind, Commissioner?
Yes, it is. That's exactly what we use to call. It's very similar.
I brought two examples, William, that I'll give one to copy, but you can look at. It's basically the very similar, but there's a little bit of the things you might consider. Like, for instance, in the community college, they show the budget, they show expenditures to date, they show the budget balance, so you see the real dollars, right? And then they show percentage of budget expended, right? So it's the kind of same thing. It just gives you the percentage that you've. And then I brought the one from the Mideast, which shows a little bit greater detail, which one that I really like is this one. And you can't see it, but I'm just going to give it to everybody. But it's real neat because here, I'm going to read their columns, right? They show original approved budget. Next column is revised approved budget, because revisions. Then they show revenue year to date, expended year to date. Okay, that's of revenue. Revenue over expenditures. Then they show budget over under expenditures, percentage of expended budget, and percentage of revenues of budget. So it's the one, you know, so again, just a little bit more detail, but seeing one grant. But the one I like most of all that I'll just really pay attention to is the one that looks at the fund balance. It looks at the fund balance of every broken down by department. And I've never seen that before, but I thought it was kind of, this is what the community college, well, wait a minute. I'll let you see it.
So this at the bottom of the front of the page, is that our fund balance money? Is that?
That's the cash I have on hand. My fund balance basically does not change until the end of the year, unless I bring you a budget amendment asking to allocate fund balance. It does not change until we close the year out.
Yeah, but sometimes, right, you take money that you take it, that you're spending out of your account balances. I mean, you have money in the bank, right?
Yeah, well, that's my cash down at the bottom that I'm referring to. Yeah.
But that cash, isn't it sometimes, obviously, where is that cash? It's part of your fund balance, right? I'm just saying, we take a look at it. You'll see it. And rather than just manage the cash, they manage it as a percentage of what the budget is for each department.
Yeah. Well, I have no problem putting it on there, but I'm just saying fund balance, unless I do a budget amendment, is going to be the same month in and month out until we close the year out.
I like this.
I'll just pass this down.
One
this
page, simple. Pass this. Go down the line items. Don, nowhere near.
I wish I could put it all on one
page. It doesn't matter. I mean, that's fine. I mean, you got cash on hand at the bottom.
Yeah, another one.
Yeah. Any feedback as to things that you absolutely would like to see on this? Because again, excuse me, this has been requested for us to provide monthly, and I just want to make sure that it includes everything you like to see.
Grab yours.
It is for me.
Come out with that.
It is for me.
But you might see something on there that you like. Very simple. Just presented a little bit differently, but it's virtually.
You spend a lot of money on miscellaneous. No, okay. Wait, that's what I'm saying right here. Yeah. Right.
So these items at the bottom, that's just total money that we have on hand.
Yes, which is
that's budgeted money and fund balance and.
Cash. Which is $5,263,265, up from $3.1 million, which is
$2 million more,
which is a 38% increase in a year.
So, but is it going to? I mean, it looks great, and why is that $2 million more?
Well, I can tell you why. I've got it right here.
We know where it is.
If you want me to tell you,
we know where it is.
I figure we need to talk about this in closed session.
Yeah, this closed session.
I just want to make sure get feedback from everybody. Is there anything else? Because again, this was requested for us to provide monthly. Just want to make sure it includes everything that you all want to see so that it meets your expectations.
Yes, for me.
Yeah. It is for me. I just like William to look at those other examples. He might see something he'd like to see even better, but I'm fine with it. Okay.
Thank you, William.
All right. Thank you, William. So we are going into closed session, but we're going to wait until the attorney is able to be with us, and he should be here shortly. So we're going to skip down to the resolution that would be next on our agenda. It's a resolution announcing salary of Burt T. County Sheriff elected November 2022 pursuant to General Statute 153A-92. And I believe you have a copy of that general statute, I mean that resolution in your paperwork that we were given this morning.
Yes.
We discussed this in closed session at our last meeting, and the county manager has provided the general, he provided general statute for us. He provided documentation showing what the salaries of sheriffs around us are. We talked about what that salary should be. So the general, for the purpose of the audience, so general statute says 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks prior to the filing of sheriff, the county commissioners are to set the salary for any new sheriff coming on board or filing for that position, because his filing fee is based on the salary that we set for that sheriff. Correct. So there was some discussion that night. There's been some further discussion one-on-one with the county manager. He is recommending in this resolution, it says, whereas the Board of Commissioners is authorized pursuant to General Statute 153A-92 to set the starting salary for the sheriff's position. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the starting salary for the sheriff position will be the minimum of salary grade 78 of the Burke T. County Sheriff's Department salary schedule. The minimum salary within this grade is $55,054, and the maximum is $79,278. Be it further resolved by the Burke T. County Board of Commissioners that this resolution will not be altered or amended until after the candidate is elected sheriff in 2022 election and takes office. The Burke T. County Board of Commissioners may adjust the starting salary of the candidate elected considering the years of service and performance and related experience. And it says adopted this 10th day of November 2022 by the Burke T. County Board of Commissioners. So we have the authority to set the salary, and then we also have the authority to raise that salary once whoever is elected and based on their salary and discussion amongst the commissioners, we can raise that salary to the desired salary.
Yeah, so just like we said, we don't have to set the salary. We're looking at the range.
Right.
And we just set it within that range. And we can adjust as we want to. Is that correct? No?
Not exactly. The general statute actually says we must set the salary. But again, you still have the flexibility to increase it to pay after right. The person is elected.
You have to set a minimum.
The minimum.
You
can't pay them less than the minimum salary you set, but you could pay them more.
Correct. However, the general statute, it says the resolution shall set forth the reduced salary. Meaning you must say what the salary is.
Right.
So in this resolution, it does that. But again, once the person is elected, you still have the flexibility to increase the salary if you choose to.
So if you're elected at this salary, the next day you can increase it. Chose to do
correct. Yeah, yes, right. Sir. Yes, sir.
Kind of sounds like semantics, because you put in what the range is, so that minimum is what you're saying, right?
Right. And it, yes, and the resolution says the starting salary for the sheriff will be the minimum.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, this is. Okay.
And you have to do all this because their filing fee is based on that salary that we set as a board. I mean, someone could come in right off the street, run for sheriff and win and with no experience. And then you may have somebody that's got 20 years of experience that wins the election. So you base it on just your minimum. I mean, what my thought process is, you base it on the minimum and then raise it to the desired salary.
Yeah,
We need a number. You need a number?
No, sir.
No, it's in this resolution. The
55.
The $55,054. So it says, be it further resolved by the Burton County Commissioners that this resolution will not be altered or amended until after the candidate. Let's see, wait a minute. That the starting salary for the sheriff position will be the minimum of the salary grade, which is $55,054. So is there a motion to adopt this resolution?
Yeah.
Okay.
The second paragraph refers to the sheriff's department. And there's no such thing that it would be saying change the sheriff's office.
So
I don't know, does it?
Yes. Yeah. It's not a department.
Oh, okay.
It's an office.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
So I make the motion to approve based on changing the wording from department to office.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Okay. So we can make those changes. I'll sign it and send it over to the Board of Elections. So we're within our 2-week period. Okay. We'll take another break and we'll find out where Jonathan is. Our county attorney has arrived, and so we will be going into closed session under pursuant to General Statute 143-318-11A3, 5, and 6. Is there a motion to go into closed session? Mm-hmm. Is there a second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
All right, everyone's back in.
Thank you. Thank you for being patient, everyone. We are coming out of closed session, and there was a mention of $2 million that is added to our bank account or our fund balance in open session that I wanted to refer back to. We did discuss it in closed session, and that money is from reimbursements that we have received from Golden Leaf and different entities back into our budget. Are there any other discussions? I will take a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Okay,
cool job. Oh, Lord, have mercy.